Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today the Age of Heroes continues with community wellness. I'm honored to be speaking with Jalen, a local youth who's put together an event on teen suicide prevention. He wants to raise awareness. Greetings and welcome, Jalen. How are you?
Hi, Hercules. I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing great, and wow, that is quite an event you've put together. Tell us first a little bit about the event, and then I'm going to ask you about the journey to get there, because I'm sure that story is as fascinating as the event that you're having.
Yeah, that sounds great. So over the summer, I basically started up doing a bunch of research, and it all started with contacting the New Jersey Chief Medical Examiner. And I asked them what the number of young adult suicides in New Jersey for the ages 15 and 24 is. And he came back to me and said that the number for teen suicides, young adult teen suicides in New Jersey were around 73 for 2022. And so what I found that to be is very impactful and very deep. And so what I did to represent these young adult deaths is that I took around 73 binders. One binder represents one teen suicide death. And what I did is that I took around 80 sheets of blank white paper, and I took around 20-ish colored white paper. And so basically, the colored white paper in the binder represents kind of the years the teen has lived versus mm-hmm. the 80 blank paper, which represents more of the years in their lives that they didn't continue to like fill out, keep coloring, keep writing their story. And when you can kind of take a look at these binders, it's very deep and like impactful seeing the significance of the white paper and seeing how much more there is than kind of the 20 stacks of colored paper in them.
Wow, that is very deep and profound. And I'm looking forward to the event, which I will be attending.
Sounds good.
And how did you go from taking on this project that, based on the information that affected you, and bringing your work public?
Yeah, so actually, it all started during 2020, the COVID pandemic era, and mm-hmm. this was the time where I was really struggling with my own mental health, and kind of my friends were too. We were in a constant state of isolation. We could not see like anyone other than our families for like well over a year. And, you know, for everyone, not just me, for all you guys out there, I'm sure you guys took like a huge toll on your mental health as well. And that's what kind of first motivated me to want to do something to help not only me, but my friends, my community, my family. And, you know, I didn't really take action. Like, I didn't really take a course of action then. It all really started recently over the summer when I was studying abroad in Costa Rica. I encountered my very close camp counselor to this day. His name is Luis, and he was dedicating his life to traveling to different parts of the world and really doing his job in creating and spreading awareness about mental health. And so immediately when I heard this, I thought back to like my COVID pandemic days, and I started to ask him why he had a semicolon tattoo on his wrist, or why he decided that mental health would be his life's passion. And so Luis basically told me that his father took his life in front of him, and he literally watched his father die in his arms and watched and listened to him taking his final breath. And, you know, this story not only impacted Luis to start his incredible journey, but it also started a fire within me. And it was then where I made the decision to be more like Luis, you know, and to, like, help do my part in creating awareness within my community. Because increased awareness can help to save lives. And after all, it's like the very minimum what I can do to help serve my community.
Have you used art to express yourself and to serve a social cause before?
Yes, I have. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the semicolon expression. So basically, the semicolon expression for teen mental health and suicide basically means that a person thought about committing suicide, or they had a family member who was close to them who had actually committed suicide. But the semicolon represents basically the ending of one thought or sentence and kind of the transition to a new idea, to a new sentence. So when you see someone wear a semicolon tattoo somewhere on their body, it usually represents that they did, in fact, think about committing suicide, which is very tragic. But however, they started a new chapter in their life, which signifies more of the hope and more of the brighter side, brighter future end. But however, for my event, I will be using periods on my binders for more of the art side to signify that these 73 individuals did in fact end their lives and that they did not, you know, conclude their tragic state and start a new idea, start a brand new future for them, but they did in fact end their lives, and that is why I chose to use the period on my binders instead.
Understood. And the semicolon is very prominently displayed on your poster for Sunday's event.
Yeah, that is correct, because we want to show people who attend the event that it's okay to not feel okay, and it's important that you close whatever bad chapters having in your life, and that to start a fresh new one is always the best outcome and best course of action to take in order to secure your mental health and to make you feel better.
Now, your high school has a stigma-free chapter, and I believe that the seniors that are currently leading it are graduating. Do you intend on getting involved with Tenafly Stigma-Free?
Yes, I do plan on getting involved in Tenafly Stigma-Free next year. You know, until I really started taking on this project, the people who are in charge of the Stigma-Free Club actually reached out to me and, you know, helped advertise my event and help spread awareness and such. So yeah, I've been doing my part in the Stigma-Free Club and really helping out my community and, you know, coming up and generating with ideas and whatnot to help spread more awareness about mental health and, you know, like stigma-free events.
Now, you are an excellent representative of the work that you're doing, and you're expressing yourself loudly, clearly, and powerfully, but you have another speaker at your event. Can you tell us about this speaker?
Yeah. So we actually, most of my research and help with creating this event came from a nonprofit organization called Minding Your Mind, and I'm in talk right now with Suzelle, who is one of, like, the leading managers of Minding Your Mind, and she, in fact, helped me come up with many ideas and fostered, like, great conversations with us about teen mental health, gave us more information about it, more statistics, and actually they agreed to send over a speaker. His name is Colin, and he will be speaking on Sunday for, the most part, speaking about his personal journey when he was a teenager, on his mental health, sharing a story that I'm sure many people in the audience will kind of correlate with. It will hit close to home with them, and it's going to be really impactful. You know, with all speakers in general, they have quite a story, and their like main objective is for people to listen to them. And in a room full of people at our event to listen to him, it'll be very impactful and very educational at the same time.
Is this a local organization, or is its circle of influence wider than locally?
Yeah, so it's actually it's a national organization.
What type of dog do you have? My dog is here on my lap.
Sorry, it's a Bichon Frise, half poodle, half Bichon.
Oh, that's great. Mine is a Chihuahua, and she likes to sit on my lap while we do the recordings. And sometimes we're doing a video recording, and she'll pop her head up and lick my nose or do something like that.
That's very cute.
So that is incredible. Are you planning a future in this particular area? Will you continue to raise awareness through your art and through your speaking?
Yeah, I definitely do plan on, you know, helping create more awareness around mental health, and especially this area, because, you know, now these days it's a very hard topic to talk about, especially amongst teenagers. I definitely do want to keep continuing my work. As of right now, I can't tell you if I have any other upcoming projects coming up, because I still have to plan them. But yeah, I 100% intend to keep circling this event and help creating mental health awareness.
That is fantastic. Are there any plans to display your work on for more than a Sunday event? I know some libraries allow you to keep your work in glass cases or in frames, if that's appropriate, for a month. Have you explored that option as well? Or put up digital images on a website?
Yeah. So we actually did look at that, about keeping all binders in the library to kind of last and make an example and to really be impactful for people to look at. However, I came up with the idea to actually utilize these binders and actually help donate them to an underserved community within, Bergen County maybe, or find what I like this idea the most. What we're going to do is send our binders to a nonprofit organization like Minding Your Mind, so they can send them to Ukraine, where they're in the constant needs of school supplies, and especially what's happening down there is very tragic. The children there are in a constant state of, duress, mental health. It's not looking very good. These 73 binders are very impactful for especially young children, adolescents, where they mm-hmm. can, keep up their schoolwork and, really focus on something different where, huge tragedies are, occurring around them.
So your concern for the world extends beyond mental illness and suicide. You're concerned about many of the problems that people in the world are having and doing something to help them there. Wow.
Yeah, correct.
What would you say the biggest problem in the world is today?
I would say... If I'm speaking for myself and my fellow teen adolescents, I would really say it's about talking about your mental health, especially young men today. We're kind of criticized to, talk about our mental health, and we're kind of looked down upon as weak if we, come out, speak out, say we're not feeling okay. But what I want people to take away from my exhibit and my event, I want people to look at this, come away with it and say, it's okay to not be okay. It's all about how you seek help and how you find help after when you're not feeling okay. And, to take the steps, to know how to take the steps and what to recognize to take the steps before it becomes too late. And, these 73 binders that you see on display show that the people, did not take the correct steps, did not realize that they actually had gone too far and they didn't seek enough help to, address their mental health problem, which is very unfortunate.
As you may or may not know, I'm currently the chairperson for 10 Flies Stigma Free, and I'm looking at the material that was created under the last director, and it's excellent. Card that has youth resources, and it's double-sided and has contact information in terms of telephone numbers, in terms of websites. And also there are a series of informational booklets, leaflets, and flyers that, again, not only address the issues, but direct you to help in Bergen County. Have you seen those items?
I actually have not seen them around.
If you see them, and again, if you are in contact with your school's stigma-free organization, what more do you think can be done? Because I'm looking to answer that so that we could do it. So in your opinion, what are we not doing? What can we be doing that we're not doing on the high school level or the young adult level?
Yeah, that's a great question. Of course, COVID kind of affected all of our high school process and our high school experience. But in my 3 years since I'm a junior currently at the Tenafly High School, I don't recall a single event where Tenafly the school district has brought in a speaker to the high school to kind of address this topic, like a speaker like Colin, to help share his personal journey with us, because I really do think that 10FI could greatly benefit speaker like Colin to come and, you know, help foster teenagers to come talk about their mental health and come tell them that it's okay to not feel okay. And that's probably the biggest thing that I would say that we should enact in our high school level of education.
So speakers are the speakers like would you prefer speakers that have like a medical background, speakers that are more like motivational, inspirational, and you know, basically teaching communication with yourself and others? What type of topics would you like to be spoken about?
Yeah. So like a little side note here, I remember in 10FY middle school, actually, we had a guest speaker come. I forgot the name of the organization, but he came to talk about the death of his son and how his son struggled from mental health. And, you know, like, unfortunately, he committed suicide. And his father was going around different counties in New Jersey and kind of sharing his experience and how he lacked to see the signs of his son more sooner than what, of course, happened with him. And he was basically telling his story to young children about saying how he regret everything that happened. He was telling about his story, and he was really being, like, I guess you could say inspirational, and, like he was definitely, like, appealing to our, like, emotional side. Like, I remember when I left the room, it was completely dark. Like, the silence was, you could say the silence was loud in that room. It was very deep, very impactful. And I would say that for the high school to bring in a speaker like that again, it would be even more impactful because we're at an age where we're older than our middle school selves, where we can really understand and relate more to these stories, because I'm sure more than half of us have experienced what that speaker's son was feeling.
Wow. Let me make some phone calls and let's see if we can make that happen. Any other ideas for improving our outreach to the young people in our community?
Yeah. So I definitely do think there should be kind of like an anonymous hotline in our school where, you know, students can kind of share their stories about mental health, where it's at an anonymous point where no one needs to know their name. They can share their stories. And, you know, kind of create like a friendlier environment where they could talk about their current state of mental health and like different students from around our school. Like it's all anonymous, of course, and they can all like, you know, chat about their own experiences and kind of lift each other up from there.
That sounds awesome. And you're going to be involved in some Zoom calls with some people who are high in the ranks of 10FI. Suggest these things there, too.
Yeah, I look forward to it, for sure.
So this is fantastic. And what inspired you to be so caring and so heroic in a way? Is this, are these values you were raised with, values you developed on your own? Because what you're doing is very rare. You're thinking way beyond yourself into the needs of the world, and then you're taking action to address in whatever way you can this world's ills. And that is a very rare thing.
Thank you. Thank you for that compliment. I have to admit, I wasn't always like this. Especially before the COVID pandemic era. I think what really like put a spark in me was like during the COVID era, I was struggling myself because all I did was just see my family. I couldn't see any of my friends, couldn't see anyone. I was in this like deep isolation, like not only physically, but mentally as well. And also my friends were feeling this way too. And, you know, it was a very challenging card. It was a very challenging time for us. And so I guess you could say that's when my spark started, where I realized that if I'm feeling this way, someone else is definitely feeling this way. And I know my friends are feeling this way. So something needs to be done about this. Something needs like to happen for this, because like the way I was feeling, I don't want to experience that again, or I don't want anyone else to experience that as well.
Now, one of the things you mentioned was to have like an anonymous hotline. Is that something that can be done like online?
Yeah, it could be done online. I was more like along. Yeah, it was. It would be more along the lines of students sharing their own personal journeys on, I guess, like the stream, and people can comment, or people can also like relate to these stories, and they can kind of help each other sort of in the healing process and kind of share that burden with them so they don't have to take it on all by themselves.
Back when I was in high school, many, 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 many years ago, I'm in my 60s now, we had through the guidance office and the school counselor groups that met periodically. I believe they ran once a week. And anybody who was feeling troubled or was going through a crisis or just needed somebody to talk to because of what they're going through at a particular period in life, they used to be able to, there was like an open invitation to the like the group, and they used to get together and they used to meet and discuss these things, you know, very openly with each other. And there was an older student or maybe like a teacher's assistant in case there was like a more serious issue that needed to be addressed participating in the group. Are those type of things still going on in high schools or locally in high schools?
I believe that the groups that you're referring to are, I'm not quite sure if they're still up right now, but it is definitely highly encouraged. That if you're definitely going through something, that you go ahead and see your guidance counselor, because everyone is specifically assigned to one. And you can go see your guidance counselor or anybody for that matter in the faculty and kind of, you know, talk to them about your situation and seek help. And I definitely think this is incredibly useful. And like, it definitely should work theoretically on paper. But however, I do like have this thought that, you know, kids are afraid to step up and kids are afraid to, you know, seek affirmative action first. No matter how many times you go and tell them. However, I think if it's more online, that they'll be more lenient and better to kind of share their story and share whatever is happening, going on with them, because they don't have to kind of face that. They don't have to face the reality of it by telling someone in person, kind of face-to-face, because I do feel like that is 10 times as scarier than if you're just things like if you're seeking help and sharing your journey online through a stream.
Understood. And thank you for those insights. You know, very, very, again, very well thought out, very clearly stated. Now that the pandemic is not as much of an issue, although it is still ongoing, but we seem to have moved past a particular point and activities have been starting up again in all areas of our lives. Do you think that the isolation that you were describing that was experienced during the pandemic continues, or has it affected how people are interacting today?
I definitely think there's still lingering effects happening with the COVID pandemic going on, with everyone's isolated feelings. However, it's been like 3 years, a little over 3 years. So I think we're kind of, you know, all adjusting back to normal, and we are definitely feeling better about our, you know, current situation and our thoughts and emotions. But for some people, what they experienced in that COVID pandemic era, you know, cannot be erased. Like, I can't speak out for everyone, but for me, myself, it's been 3 years. And, you know, when I was in that COVID pandemic era, I was at my lowest. And as soon as I hit rock bottom, I just tried to keep surfacing up, but I couldn't. And I did like tell my parents about this. I spoke with my friends. And with the help of my community, I was able to, you know, get out of this dark era of mine. And I was able to recover. And I'm doing well right now within the 3 years. So I definitely do think that some people are still struggling about it, and I encourage them to go and seek help and talk to someone about it. But for the most part, I think that most people who experience what I experienced in the COVID era are, you know, kind of better and, like, have definitely improved a lot.
And what type of activities do you think we need to have or we need to start building or we already have and we haven't put as much energy into restarting them again that would be helpful to the teens in Tenafly?
That's a good question. Activities. I definitely do think that more of, again, what I said about like having these public speakers come, that's a huge one. And I definitely do think, like, especially, like, for like me in a personal manner, when I was in that COVID era stuck phase, whenever I was feeling down or whenever, like, my mental health was taking a huge toll on me, I would go out for a walk. And, you know, that fresh air would clear my head. And so thinking about this for activities, I definitely do think if we host, like, a dog walk, but instead of like a dog walk, it could be a walk for mental health, a walk for like a walk to clear your head, like a big walk like that to help raise money, to help create more awareness about this event. I think for sure it will definitely, you know, not only teach people a way on how to cure whatever they're feeling by taking a walk, but it's also a great way to bring the community closer together and, you know, as a plus to raise money as well.
Now, we have walks in Tenafly, and two of them are coming up very shortly. And Tenafly Stigma Free will have a table at one of the walks, the 5K run and dog walk. If you'd like to pass by the table, it'll leave any literature if you can't stay that will raise awareness through your work. Please feel free to do so. So we're trying to raise awareness at these events. And yes, it is on the list to actually start holding events like this. So I'm glad you suggested it because that is something I strongly believe in as well.
Yeah, for sure. I will definitely be attending that event. Yeah.
And there are also community nights, and there's like today there was an event to welcome new people into Tenafly. So we're going to make sure we attend these events with Stigma Free and have information. Today we took a step towards getting the materials about mental health in with the welcoming packages the new residents in Tenafly get. So, you know, there's so much that can be done, but, you know, we would like to start doing them. How's your writing? You're an excellent speaker and you're an excellent conceptualizer. How's your writing?
You know, I would like to say it's, you know, to the level of my speaking. I certainly hope it is. But I would say it's pretty good, and I'm fairly sure others would agree with me.
Have you thought of writing down your ideas, like into short articles?
No, I actually have not thought about that.
Because that might be another way to get, because you've already thought about it and you've already decided how to approach it. And again, now you're having your event and you're going to have more events, I'm sure, as you go through life. So maybe describing what you described tonight on the program and sharing that would be another way to raise awareness about your particular mission.
That's a very good idea. I will definitely be looking into that and definitely, you know, doing that, exactly what you said.
Now,
thank you for that.
My pleasure. Now, you are, again, someone who can take an idea inside your mind and go out and make it a reality. And you're very creative, and it seems that you're very thorough in your research, and you also are good at contacting the right people, you know, to get information. A lot of people, again, they have ideas, and some of the ideas are great ideas, but they're afraid to move forward with their ideas because of what other people will think or, you know, or things like that. What recommendations can you give people who want to do something like you're doing, but they're afraid or not ready to do it? What advice can you give to them?
So some advice I would give to people who, like me, have found a passion and have found a topic that they want to talk about, but they just don't know how to, I would start by looking within your community. Are there resources available to you who you can speak with to find out more about your information, about your topic, and see if there's any local clubs, school clubs? For me, it was definitely the Tenafly High School Stigma Free Club, and it was the Tenafly Council, like you guys who, you know, gave me a great deal of information, helped me out entirely. And you guys really kind of pointed me in the right direction to therefore contact all these different resources. And so my advice to people who, just like me, want to help create awareness in their community on a certain topic would be to first reach out to your community, listen to what your community has to say, and kind of get your community's advice at first. And then after you kind of get the resources from your community, expand outwards to like nonprofit organizations or a local hospital if you have one, and see if you could, you know, kind of tag along or partner with some events that they're holding that that relate to your current topic that you want to help spread more awareness on.
Wow, that is excellent advice. And what would you advise people who right now are in a dark place, because you found your way out and into the light. Now you're spreading the light in circles of growth around you in a very short period of time. What advice would you give to people who are at that semicolon point in their life to start a new chapter, a better chapter in their lives?
Yeah, so for those of you who are listening right now, if you are experiencing this, I highly encourage you to, first of all, come to my event. We will definitely be speaking more about this in depth. But some advice I give to you now is make your voice heard. Go to a trusted family member. Go to your teacher. Go to your guidance counselor. Go to anyone who will listen and tell them what's happening to you, because I 100% guarantee that they will try to help you, and I promise you, they will not knock you even more down than you already are. Secondly, reach out and talk to your friends. I know, especially at this level of age, talking to your friends about this, about your mental health, kind of seems humiliating, but I promise you, it's not humiliating. Your friends, your friends in high school, they care a lot about you. And I 100% assure you that they want what's best for you. And if you tell them what's going to happen, they're going to support you daily at school. They're going to make sure that you're fine, and they're going to make sure that your voice is heard.
Thank you for the wonderful advice. And before we get into more details about this particular event, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our audience?
No, I think you pretty much covered up the gist of kind of why I started to get into this, and, you know, kind of more of the symbols reflecting and surrounding my event. Yeah.
So before we wrap up for today, how can people attend this event? How long is your event? And what do you hope they take out of the event?
Yeah, so the event is at the Englewood Public Library, and it's May 21st, this Sunday. And people can attend it from 2 to 4 p.m. And so what people can do at my event is they can walk around, see the binders, of course, take a really good look at them, and kind of have their minds taken from them as they see the number of blank paper compared to the number of colored paper. And I hope that these people, what people take away from this event when they come is I want them to talk more about what's happening with their lives. I want this to help foster conversations more about teen mental health. And I absolutely do not want people to be in a downer mood when they leave. I want people to be lifted up in a high spirit. I want people to be happy. I want people to know that there's a future ahead of them if they are experiencing something like this. And I want people to know that they're not walking this this journey alone, that there's millions of people like them, there's thousands of people in their community like them that are experiencing the same unfortunate incident. And, you know, I want them to take action. That's what I want them to take from my event.
And this is at the Englewood Public Library, which is the next town over. And so it's convenient for those of us who live in Tenafly. And I would like to follow what you're doing. So if you're having any other event and you'd like to help spread the word, I will definitely spread the word through our podcast, through our social media, and through our tables at different events where we're going to focus on mental health awareness and trying to eliminate stigma. So anytime you have a new event that you're doing, just contact me and we'll do an interview for that, because you're doing important work and you're a phenomenal young person.
Of course. Thank you so much. And yeah, I definitely do plan on doing something else in future after this event, and you'll be the first to know.
Thank you very much. I'm greatly honored, and thanks to our wonderful listeners. Whether you called in here and you're patiently waiting in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody, and thanks again, Jalen.
Thank you so much for having me.